God is making you a house of prayer. Amen and amen. So we started talking from the book of Jonah, which is probably the first time I'm preaching from that book. And we started looking at from chapter 1 of Jonah. We talked about the fact that the word of God came to Jonah, you know, from that chapter 1. And then we saw from the story of Jonah that the story of Jonah is our story. And that what God did with Jonah is always still doing with us. And he's always sending us a word. He's always admonishing us. And then last week, we got into the part where we talked about the fact that somewhere along the equation of love, you have to know it, you have to show it, and the biggest part is that you have to share it. You know, and we talked about some areas how we can share the love of God, especially with other people, and make them come into Jesus and make them know Jesus. Let me add a little piece to that, of that bringing people into the family of God, because Jesus wants his family to be big. Sometimes when people hear this kind of message, they think, oh, a pastor is looking for more people to come to the church. Yes, why shouldn't you look for more people to come to the church if he's going to bless me? But it's beyond that. What I'm telling you this morning is not even inviting them to a church. I'm asking you to invite them to a life. I'm asking you to invite them to Jesus, who says, I am the way. He didn't say I'm the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So if he's the way, then any other person that doesn't have the way, they don't have a way. They are lost. So that means that anybody that doesn't know Jesus, they don't have a chance. I don't know that sometimes we consider that. I think sometimes some of us think that he's a good guy enough, but good is not good enough. Oh, he's somebody that doesn't hurt other people. He's even very religious. He does this. If he does not know Jesus, he doesn't have the way. There is no other way. I am the way. I am the way. There are no other truths. I am the truth. Oh, this one that this is my truth. I'm living my truth. Forget your truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. I am not talking about truth. I am truth. I am the way. I am the life. So when it comes to eternal destiny of people, you should be concerned. And we said, you know, you bring these people up in the place of prayer. But much more than that, what are practical ways that you can make people know about Jesus? One way is to share your own salvation story. Tell people about your story. I don't know enough Bible. You know about yourself. I can't quote scriptures. You know your own story. You know, once I was blind, now I see. There's power in personal testimony. John chapter 4 is a classic example of the power of the story of a person. Many of us have not told our story. I was blessed when Pastor Dami was sharing today. And today I was just telling myself, I said, Pastor, what are you doing in this church? It's time to move. Amen to Jesus. Some people are not even saying amen back. When I say amen or no amen, the heavens will help me say amen. But that was a very, very good one. Let's celebrate her. I was so blessed. But I had to do some other things, so I paused this so I will continue. Amen. But she wanted to share part of her story. And I saw immediately when she was going there, and she just hinted a few things there in some of her own story. I saw how that could connect to other people. Do you know that your story can be his story? You can hand over your story to God, and that story, God can use your story to change other people's story. Do you know God does not waste experiences? The things you went through, your path in life, your journey in life, alas, God knew that he would be able to use those things for other people. Every day I see that the path that I went through, some of the things that I went through, because sometimes I've even sat down sometimes to see that there are some things that seemingly was a path that I went through. It was not about me. It was about other people. It was not about me, because when I sat down to look at it, even me myself, there wasn't too much about it. But somehow, that path has helped other people. And I'm saying to you this morning, when it comes to bringing people to God, your story is very powerful. What did God deliver you from? How did God help you? How did God make you overcome that thing? How did God bring you to the place that, where you are today? Because there is a dimension, there is something about some people. They try to revise their story and they try to revise their life to look like everything was perfect. That's one of the reasons why sometimes many children in, back in the days, their father was always coming first. Amen to Jesus. I saw one man of God was like, he said, I've never been first before. I said, ah, thank God there are other people like us. Because it seems that every other person that you know, they were always smart. They always knew what to do. They always figured it out. They just knew everything. But some of us, our story was not like that, right? There are some of us, our story is like this. There was a time that we were high. There was a time that we were low. Even in this Christian walk, there was one day I was talking to somebody. I was like, if I draw my Christian chart of many things, even in prayer, this prayer that some people think that some of us do, my chart like this. What about fasting? If I tell you a story about fasting, fast that we said, this is where we are going. And in the middle, we changed it and we didn't even look back again to continue what we are doing. Like some people now, on these 100 days, we don't know how many days we have missed. Just look straight. Jesus loves you. But what I'm saying this morning is that your story is a very powerful tool. Don't waste it. It's something you can share with people. You'll be surprised how your story will connect to somebody. How your story will be a blessing. Even the things you don't like. The things that you thought, if they know this about me, they will bring me down. Let me tell you the truth. Men are looking for real men. Authentic people. People that are human beings. People that will not just spiritualize everything. And that's one of the things that makes people run away from children of God or we that are, you know, because sometimes you just go, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God. Amen. We know. But there are people that, you know, they just want you to talk like a human being. And so this morning I'm adding to that when it's to reach people, you need to learn and to share your story. So one of the things I will encourage you to rehearse your story. Write it down. Just write it down. And kind of summarize it in like a 5 minutes, 6 minutes kind of stuff. So that it will be handy and one day you put it in the hands of someone. That kind of preparation will allow God to send people your way. It will allow you to be in conversation that you'll be able to quickly share that story. And then when you throw that story on the table, whether you are able to put a scripture there or not, you have been able to bring that person to at least know about Jesus, to at least hear of Jesus. And if there's anything you and I need to do in this season and beyond, is to share the love of God. Another strategy to bring others to Christ, sharing your story, is lifestyle evangelism. That means every day I show up at work, I'm either letting somebody come to Jesus or somebody go away from him. That means my actions also speak. It's not only my words. In fact, if there's anything that has messed up the testimony of the gospel of Jesus, it is that people put Jesus on their lips, but don't put Jesus in their actions. There is a lot of Jesus talk, few Jesus actions. There's a lot of people that talk for God. They don't live for God. It is okay to talk for him, and that's what I first said about it, the story part. We should, it's okay to talk for him, but it's better to live for him. It's better that your lifestyle shows him. It's better that you show Jesus. And that's where I want to go to this morning, you know, about love. You know, I want to look at what I call another definition of love. Another definition of love, okay? So I just said the beginning part just to kind of tie last week. Another definition of love. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Their own mercy, singular. The question I want to ask, which is the question that you should also be asking yourself if you are finding yourself in the way Jonah found himself, is that why did Jonah not want to go to the place God told him to go? Why is it that Jonah didn't want to share the love of God with these people? It is not because that place was far. In fact, geography, Bible geography shows us that it was like a 2-mile journey, you know, or a short journey. And where he went to, the opposite of where he was supposed to go to, was like a 2,000-mile journey. It's almost like God is saying, Emmanuel, go to downtown Chicago. And I said, no, it's go that you said. Then I go to, you know, South America. It is easier to go to downtown Chicago than to go to South America. But that was what Jonah did. He went in the opposite direction. And, excuse me. In 2025, we are still doing that. There are many things that God has said we should do. Sometimes they may not sound the, you know, the most adventurous, but it can be simple and yet profound. It can be simple and yet meaningful. It doesn't have to be big deal, you know. Sometimes, without prejudice, and I have to contextualize this properly so that I don't send the wrong message. Sometimes, you know, back in the day, I used to watch TV quite a bit, especially Christian TV. And I see this. Ah, there are children suffering in Africa. You know, you now see this child. You know, you see flies around the child and all of that kind of thing. And are there people like that? There are people suffering like that. But you know, there are people suffering in Chicago too. So there is a tendency to be more outward focused than you forget something that is very close to you. So in the escape journey of Jonah, we see what many of us do. We leave the immediate and go for something that is not as immediate. We leave the familiar and want to deal with something that we're not really familiar with. We leave the real thing that he has called us to do and want to do every other thing. And say, well, as long as we are active and doing activity. But God is saying this morning, and he's asking you, where are you going that is different from where I told you to go? What are you doing that is different from what I told you to do? Now, so the question this morning also is that why did Jonah decide to do this? You know the reason? It's because he believed those people deserve judgment. He believed that the kind of judgment God should give them should be judgment that God should punish them. And I believe that today, many of us too are like that. We believe that God needs to move this way or that way. We believe that, you see, when somebody has done wrong, they should have consequences. And let me, first of all, balance it. Judgment is not evil. Judgment is part of God. In fact, you and I should believe in judgment. You and I should love the justice system of God. You and I should understand that we have been called as the just. God has justified us and has made us the just. And we are relating to a just God. In fact, the ministry of prayer, you need to see God not just as your father, not just as your God, but as your judge. In Luke chapter 18, if you start reading from verse 1, Jesus told a parable about prayer there. And the premise of this parable is that there was a woman who needed justice. And this woman went to the king. And he saw the king as a judge. A king who is going to bring justice. And hear me, child of God, God does bring justice. And can I stand on that premise and speak that in the name of Jesus, everything that is not of God in your life, I bring a judgment from above. And I judge that thing in the name of Jesus. Everything that is putting your life under pressure, I decree and declare, they are judged in the name of Jesus. So judgment is not necessarily a bad thing. Judgment is something that actually God does. Judgment is what God always does when we go into place of prayer and we bring his word. You know, the whole activity of prayer is a legal thing. Because we bring a legal document, which is the word of God. We stand on the premise, we find some articles of the word of God, the law of God, and present our case before the judge of the universe. And that judge of the universe will use the words that you have brought or the case that you have presented and declare you acquitted. And I speak concerning somebody, whether you have a physical case or you don't have a physical case, I declare you acquitted. You are free to go in the name of Jesus. So God is a God of justice. God is a God that judges. And that's why sometimes when that statement, we listen, we don't judge. You know, in many places we can use it. But you see, I tell myself, I say, somehow we judge. Or we don't judge the way they want us to judge. But we always judge, because judgment does not always have to be that I bring you down. Judgment is just a decision. I have passed the decision. I have an opinion. I have a stand. And let me tell you the truth. Anybody that does not have a stand will not stand. I have to have a stand. I have an opinion. I'm a parent. I have an opinion about my children. I have an opinion, the kind of friend you have. I can't listen and say I won't judge. Why would I judge? That's my job. I sit in the, I am the judge in my house. I sit as a judge. So when I see a text I don't like, I judge. I will listen and then I will. So there's a context where you can judge. And you know, some people will say, especially when you're having a conversation with them, don't judge me. I won't judge you. In a punishing way, but I can make a stand. I can stand with the word of God, because every time I make a choice, it's some part of judgment. So judgment, I'm trying to just say this morning, even though that was what Jonah was thinking God was not trying to do, he didn't even understand that even in whatever God was trying to do, that God can still judge, but not judge the way he wants to, is looking at it. And so let me speak to you this morning. When it comes to judgment, judgment does not have to be always in a punitive way. If you are a child of God, you always have to seek redemption, even inside judgment. The difference between the judgment of God and sometimes the judgment of men and other beings is that the judgment of God always wants to redeem. Even in the judgment of God, even in the justice system of God, there is a redemption there. And so this morning, I am appealing to you to also be like God. You know, sometimes when I was younger, I didn't want to be this church people thing, because I just thought some of them were too mean. They followed God. They were holy. And they were always angry at sin and sinners and people. You know, it's almost as if they feel like you. God said we shouldn't do that. And you're not doing it. I will punish you on behalf of God. Why will you look at you? God said we shouldn't do it. Excuse me. Let me deal with God now. But they are angry on behalf of God. You know? So you see some of them, they look so mean. You do something to them, they will never forgive you or forget. And the idea is that God is a holy God. The holy God is a kind God too. Can somebody say amen? When we're reading the confession, one of the things that blessed me there was that love is kind. Love is kind. That means that the judgment of God, the way God does his own judgment, is a kind judgment. Even in what you think is a punishment, there's still kindness there. There's kindness there. And so I'm saying to you too, that in the business and outlook of judgment, you and I must know that we don't have to be angry people. We don't have to be people that seemingly wants to punish people. Even if you are a parent, in your correction of your child, in your instructing them and putting them in the right way, you should still be kind there. In your correction of your friend or your spouse, let me go there, right? We should still be kind. We can correct people and still be kind to them. We can correct people and still be nice to them. We can bring out the fault, but not bring down the person. Because sometimes some people don't know how to distinguish between the two. They think that if something is wrong, then that wrong person must come down. No, it doesn't have to come down. We can deal with the wrong and not destroy the person that was wrong. All right? So Jonah chapter 2 verse 8 says, there are those who observe lying vanities. And this is Jonah that said this after the redemption, or after God had now showed Jonah that you can't, I'm the best person that will be the judge. And any judgment you want to do and you want to do right, you have to do it by me. And then God put Jonah in this fish belly and all of that. And by the way, you know, I was saying the other week, I think it was last week, that the story of the Bible is not just a story. You know, it's just not just fables like some people think it is. How many of you saw in the news that somebody was maybe almost entered the mouth of a whale or something like that? Did you see that in the news? Where are you people now? Some people are under the rock. Okay, these people are, yeah, they are current. Be current. See, some of us that don't watch TV, we are. I know some people are holy unto the Lord. We are fasting. We are looking unto the Lord. You can still live in the community where you are living. But there was this story of a Chile guy. And the guy was surfing and all of that kind of thing. And then there was this big fish that, you know, we couldn't see, but the guy claims that he entered inside the mouth of that stuff for a few seconds, and then the thing split. If it can happen for a few seconds, it can happen for 3 days. Can somebody say amen? I say that to you so that you, because there is a ploy by the devil to attack the supernatural, to make the supernatural look spooky and make it impossible. It's not true. If God can create human beings and create fish, can he not put fish, human beings inside fish and keep it safe there? What's the big deal about that? Even me, from a creative mind, I can do a cartoon series and I will come up with that kind of thing. I'm a human being. I'm much more God of the universe. So the story of Jonah is true. He really went into the belly of the fish. And then after, inside the belly of the fish was when he sent this statement. And he said something. He says, one of the reasons people don't observe mercy, because you see, the justice system of God is like a coin that has two sides. It has judgment and it has mercy. And in the judgment of God, you see the mercy of God. In the mercy of God, you see the judgment of God. So there is a combination of this mercy and judgment that flows together. And Jonah is saying the reason why some people are not able to maximize mercy is that they are looking at lying vanities. It says they that observe lying vanities, they are going to miss their own mercy. Let me say this morning that many times our focus or where we are putting our eyes or what we are looking at may affect every other thing that we are doing. So you find out that sometimes the reason why people are behaving the way they are behaving is where they have put their focus. Sometimes people do not know that even in our relationship with one another, our focus is not one another, our focus is Him. That is why in your service, your focus is not service, your focus is Him. In your being a husband, your focus is not just being a husband, your focus is Him. In your being a wife, your focus is not just being a wife, your focus is Him. There is no way you and I will experience and walk in the fullness of the kind of judgment of God that has mercy and judgment, or judgment and mercy. There's no way we are going to maximize that mercy or maximize that experience without the right focus, without observing the right thing. Look at this scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That is how to have the kind of love that God has. That is how to operate in the kind of love that God has. This love that can have judgment and mercy together. This love that can have mercy and judgment together. That is how to have it. That is how to make it happen. You focus on things above. Your focus is anything that the Word of God says, anything that you see Jesus do, anything that you see the Bible model, you focus on that. That is what is going to affect what you are doing here below. Many people focus on what is happening here. Our focus is very temporal. Our focus is very mundane. Our focus is very earthly. And so because of that, our actions are also earthly. Our actions are not looking like what the Word of God says. So Jonah is reminding us this morning that one of the reasons why he was not able to go to the original place that God told him to go to was that he was looking at lying vanities. His focus was wrong. He was looking at just the things on this earth. He was looking at what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of riches. He was looking at, there was more attention on other people, what the other people didn't do well, more than the attention on God. And in homes today, one of the reasons why the fullness of the love of God is not happening is that there is a focus on the other person. The husband is focusing on what the wife should do. The wife is focusing on what the husband should do. How do I know? When you hear them talk. Did the Bible not say that husband love your wife? Yes, the Bible said that. But the Bible also said wife honor your husband. And that statement that you are now saying like that, we don't even know that you are showing honor. So if I focus on what is above, especially what is above for me, if I focus on what God has called me to do, I strive to get there sooner than later, I will find out that even other things, other relationships will begin to align in that dimension. Many people do not know that necessarily we cannot change another person. You know that, right? At least in a little way. So most of the time, the other person is going to change because they want to change or because God started working in them to change. So that is why it is useful, it is beneficial if we put the focus on the right thing. Focus on God. And like the Bible says, they looked unto him and they were lightened. And their countenance changed. And something happened to them. And because something happened to them, something will happen around them. So Jonah this morning is saying, those who are not maximizing mercy are the people that are observing lying vanities. Lying vanities will include deceitfulness of riches. Lying vanities will even include some of the things the mundane things, the things we see on social media. Lying vanities will be anything that the word of God necessarily didn't say. Lying vanity is that you are focusing on the temporal more than the eternal. Let me say this to you. There are eternal things. There are eternal things. And every now and then, you and I need to be reminded that life, what you and I call life, is short. It's short. 100 years is not a long time. The United States is how old? I'm not up to 200 years old, am I, right? Are we 200? Almost 200. 248. 248? What's happening to my history? Okay. We are not 500 years old. Lying vanities. Deceitfulness of riches. I want to be this, I want to be that. Is the Bible against success? No. In fact, when God was giving Joshua the last commanding line after Moses had died, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. He says, so that you can observe to do all that is written therein. He says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. This is God speaking to a man. So God is not against success. God is not against success. But God is saying, we need to set our affection on things that are above. On things that are above. We need to put our affections there. We need to make that our focus. I wrote here that there are things that we are always observing. And the devil plays the game of affecting what you observe or what you see to obstruct what you really deserve or desire. If you don't know how and you don't prioritize setting your affections on things above, and it's always things here, the devil will play major, major game on you. Because he's the master of the sense realm. He's the God of this world. So there are many things that people are putting their attention on. You now start seeing that those things will fail you. Money will fail. Whatever thing you have put your attention in that is temporal, that is physical, that is earthly, so to say, it will fail. But if you put your affection on God, you will find out that that is the right place to put your affection. So Jonah says, those who observe lying vanity will miss their own mercy. I want to say a few things about mercy before we pray today. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, Jesus speaking here, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So God is a God of justice, God of judgment, and God of mercy. And God wants his children to love justice, judgment, and he wants them to also be people of mercy. And he says, blessed are the merciful. And because as you extend mercy to other people, you also, you will receive mercy. Let me say this to you. One of the things that will allow you to be more and more of a merciful person is to remember you yourself. If you look in the mirror, and that person you see in the mirror, you can live with that person. That person you see in the mirror, you can remember some things that that person has done wrong, and somehow you can still tolerate that person. God is saying, you have shown that person in the mirror of mercy. The same mercy you showed that person, show other people too. The same mercy you showed that person in the mirror, show other people too. So, God is saying in that Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, he said, blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. So, when it comes to the mercy of God, God does not just want you to receive mercy from him. He wants you to extend the mercy to other people. He wants you to be merciful to other people. Now, the word mercy or being merciful simply means that you don't get all that you deserve that is bad. You don't get the recompense. You are not repaid the way the actions that you have committed suggest. So when it comes to mercy, when you are extending mercy to people, you are making sure by the grace of God that you don't only pay them what they deserve, you do better than what they deserve. And that's what God is asking us today. You know, there's a big conversation in our nation now about immigration. And several people like the president, some people don't like him, and all of that kind of thing. I think there can be a middle line. I think it is possible for us to uphold judgment, uphold justice. And I think it is also possible for us to show mercy as we uphold justice. So wherever you find yourself, in any corner you find yourself in this debate, I am saying that mercy can triumph over judgment. Mercy is even expected to triumph over judgment. You don't know about judgment until you know mercy. The other side of judgment is mercy. The reason why you and I can still deal with God, or God can still deal with us, is not just because it's the God that is the judge or the God of justice. It's the God that tempers mercy or judgment with mercy. He balances out his judgment with mercy. And this morning, God is saying in that Matthew 5 verse 7 that everybody that is of God, that wants to live a blessed life, must be such a person that balances their judgment with mercy. I cannot take that. You can take it if you balance judgment with mercy. Because the person has done wrong, because some of us, we are very logical in our thinking. As a man, you think logic. This is the logic. You did this. This is what you are supposed to get. And I'm going to let you get it as my act of love to you. You know, some people tell you that it's tough love I'm showing you. I'm just showing you tough love. And I get that part of tough love. But can that tough love also have tough mercy under it? Can that tough love also be marinated with mercy? Can you let there be sprinkles of mercy so that when the person receives the judgment, they can swallow it? You know, that's how they give us medicine. When the medicine is not that good, or it's supposed to be, you know, very not so tasty, they'll quote it. And that's what God is saying this morning to you and I, that we can quote our judgment with mercy. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And let me tell you this, you will need another mercy. You know why the Bible says his mercies are new every morning? Because you need a new one. Because you received mercy yesterday does not mean you don't need it today. Most times people think that because they have received mercy, now I don't need mercy now. Yesterday God forgave me. Now today is today. You that you sinned, we are going to come after you. And God is letting you understand that you soon need another mercy. Because there are things that may not necessarily be a sin. Because sometimes when we begin to talk about mercy, people begin to think, oh, you sinned, you didn't sin. No. Sometimes it may just be carelessness, mistake. For example, Don't you know it is the mercy of God that some of us, we have not fallen down, you know, sick. You know, I was hearing a testimony this morning, and they were talking about this woman. They said she's 100 years old, and that she has not been to the hospital. And I was thinking to myself, that, why is that a testimony that she has not been to the hospital? At least you go and do a checkup. Amen. You don't need to go to the hospital because you are sick. You sometimes go so that you don't be sick. Is that okay? And sometimes God will still spare those kind of people. She's going to be on, I think she's going to be on there tomorrow. And I'm like, wow. The mercy of God. Amen to Jesus. And so God is telling you that you are going to need mercy. So offer somebody mercy. The reason why you don't want to pay people in their own coin all the time is because one day you also need God to look, to overlook what you have done. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying another definition of love has to not only require and suggest that people get what they ask for, people get what they did, but it suggests that people will get more than they did. Mercy is very powerful. It is the mercy of God that you and I have not been consumed. It is the mercy of God. It is the mercy of God that has given us even some results. Do you know whenever you come to God in prayer, as God being the judge, you are speaking to him on legal matters. By the legalness of the matter, there are some times you should not get your result because you didn't follow the legal requirement. But mercy will speak. Because you know why? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Can you give it to me please? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. That throne of grace is that judgment seat where God is sitting down. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we will obtain mercy. He didn't say that we will get judgment, because sometimes when we come there, we don't come with enough qualifying things. But when we come there, we understand we are dealing with the God of justice, the judge of the earth, who deals with mercy. He dispenses mercy. He will give you more than you deserve. And he is also asking you to be like him. In your own home, be a man of mercy. With your own children, be a person of mercy. It's not everything they do that you have to break the bank for. It's not. Else you will just, your back will not, it will lose its bite. It will lose its power. It will lose. So it's not every time sometimes when things happen, look away. So that the day you don't look away, they will know that the lion of the tribe of your family has arisen. So sometimes we look away. Sometimes things have happened in the house. I just look away. And even me, I've been blessed by more lookaways than looking to. You know, especially when I was growing up. I remember several years ago. I can still remember this morning. Because that day I thought, heaven is going to fall down today. My mom came into the room and she saw the bounties and booties of some things that I was doing. You know, let me not go into what I was doing because of my time. And I thought, hey, here's you woman. Hey, she's going to, first of all, take me through a Bible study. After Bible study, she will now spank. Because my mom, oh God, she spanked for my dad, my mom, my grandmom, all together. She just collected the rule as a spanker in chief. Mommy, it's them that made me say it too. So I thought she was going to spank me. She just came into the room, saw those things, and she smiled and walked away. I was like, what happened to Sister Titi? Because, see, you may not understand. I grew up in the days of holiness unto the Lord. We are still holiness unto the Lord, but sir, it was very serious. Life looked like we're in a monastery. You understand what I mean? Did the Lord make you do that? We put the Lord in every conversation. And so, when she looked away, that, you know, because she looked away, I told myself, this will never happen. Just that looking away. And if she didn't look away, maybe I would have done be more rebellious. Do you know that sometimes, when you insist on judgment, you don't get results? There are many times you have insisted, my wife must apologize. She was wrong. And it's true, she's wrong. And she will not apologize. Amen. Skalaila. She will not apologize. So what are we going to do? But, Pastor, what I'm saying is that she's wrong. Even what she did is wrong by Bible study. I know. So why should I be the one to apologize? Because you want to show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. I will extend mercy to my child. Even on the road, nowadays, God is helping me to extend mercy. Can somebody say amen? Somebody that knows that you cannot. You see cars, see two, our two cars. V2. And V6 or V8. Then you just cut me. Pew. And then you now go to my front and slow down. Something rises up in the inside of me to say there is an anointing of Jehu. You seek a liar. Then I don't do that quite often. Jesus is helping me now. But those days, I'll show up in your front in the way you were not expecting it. And you will not hit me because my angels are on guard, amen. But I will show you. I will show you. When I get to the point, I'll put on my hazard light so that you know it is intentional. But God is saying sometimes, especially now, show mercy, amen. Show mercy. At work, show mercy. There are many times we have opportunity to repay other people that we should not repay them. And you see, what people don't know when they show mercy to other people, God still maintains his place of judge. And if that person still needs to get a visitation from God, God will now bring what is called vengeance. That's why he says, vengeance is mine. I will pay. Vengeance is mine. My uncle messed up. He was. Vengeance is mine. Give it to me, I will pay. There are some of us, the people we are angry with, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just angry. And that anger is cancerous inside of you. It's making you all kinds of things. And God is saying, vengeance is mine. In fact, the way the vengeance is his own, you don't need to remind him. The way to remind him, so to say, is you show mercy. You show mercy. And then you will receive mercy for yourself. And if that person does not go and get mercy from God, the vengeance will speak. The vengeance will speak. So this morning, God is calling you to be a man and a woman of mercy. If you keep looking at what they have done, you will forsake your own mercy. The way you forsake your own mercy is that the mercy God should show you, you will stop it. Because you have not given them mercy. Remember that Matthew chapter 5 verse 7 says, blessed are the ones that have given mercy because they will what? Obtain mercy. So, not so blessed, so let's not use a more stronger word than that, are the people that have not shown mercy or are not giving mercy, they will forsake their own mercy. And the reason they will forsake their own mercy, they are looking at lying vanities. She did not say she's sorry. She's not even remorseful. You know? It's okay, I can forgive her, but she has to show some remorse. There are sometimes they won't show remorse. That sometimes they won't show. The goodness of the Lord can be the thing that will lead towards repentance. Sometimes that's how it works. And so this morning, God is calling. He's calling you. He's calling me to be like him and begin to operate with mercy. You know, it was, I think, last week that I was talking about TLC. That many of our love needs to have TLC. Tender, love, and care. And that tender part is mercy. Look at this scripture. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. The Bible said, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Tender mercy. The mercy of God makes us to be tender. When we live a merciful life, we are more tender. When we live a life that is merciful, it doesn't make us weak, because sometimes some people think, when I'm showing mercy, I become weak. No, you don't become weak. You become strong. Because they that don't do that, they will forsake their own mercy. And let me tell you, it is not of he that runs, nor he that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. That means mercy is greater than strength. Mercy is greater than will. Mercy is greater than striving and running. There are some things you will never meet running. You won't catch up. There are some things you will never meet because of your will. You won't catch up. But there are many things that mercy will carry you to. Mercy is a wing. It can lift you. It can color your mistakes. It can cover up for your shortcoming. That is why many men of God, or many people that understand the value of mercy, they ask for mercy a lot. That's why when we started this service, I asked her to go in the direction of asking mercy. Mercy is not only necessary when you are even in a judgment situation. Mercy is also necessary when you are not in a judgment situation. Because let me tell you the truth. On this earth, after all is said and done, more is not done than should be done. Did you get that? That means that if you add all that you should do, when you've added everything together, you still fall short. What will make the difference will be mercy. That's what will make the difference. And mercy is a big difference. If you see two people doing the same thing, one that has obtained mercy and another one that doesn't obtain mercy, the difference will be as clear as noonday. The story of Jacob and Esau is a classic example. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says, "So then it is not of he that willeth, nor of he that runneth, but of God that shows mercy." The big part is in the mercy we have received. So, I should not be boasting in my labor. I should be trusting in the mercy of God. Just like that scripture we read in the beginning, Psalm 58 verse 2. I'm like a green olive in the house of my God. I trust in the mercy of God. I'm looking out for the mercy of God. If mercy shows up for you, it will color your mess. So some people are conscious of their mistake. You've not seen the mercy of God before. If you see the mercy of God, a Rahab can become part of the genealogy of Jesus. Oh, pastor, I came late. Oh, let mercy show. If mercy comes into the equation, your coming late will not matter. Ruth looked like a latecomer. Ruth seemed to have been served the wrong side of the stick, the short end of the stick. And the Bible said that when the two sisters looked at their mother-in-law, they said, "Well, we're going to follow you." And then Oprah had an epiphany, or had a aha moment. She just thought to herself, "This journey that we're about to go on, this woman that we're about to follow, she has lost all the men in her life. So, what is the purpose of this following?" And she stopped following the woman. But Ruth continued to follow. And everybody that would have seen Ruth would have been like, "That is stupid somebody." But they didn't factor mercy. There are people listening to me today. Some people have counted you out, but they have not factored mercy. They've not factored that the mercy of God can speak, can show up, and that mercy will bridge the gap. It doesn't take time, or it takes God. "Oh, my mates have gone. Some of them now have three children. They have three children. They have a car and two garages." And so what? And so what? They are living the American dream. There is something bigger than the American dream. That's the God dream. When mercy shows up, even what people are saying is the American, God will give you. God will help you. Am I saying somebody will just write you a check and dash you something? It may not happen that way. But God has many ways. And so that's why this subject of mercy should be very personal to you. God is calling you just like he called Jonah. What God wanted to show Jonah was that I am a God of judgment. And inside my judgment, there is mercy. So when you pursue what I tell you to do, it does not mean judgment can't come. But the judgment may not come the way you are thinking it will come. It will come with mercy. And that mercy makes us tender. And God is asking the husband today, as we are still in this month of love, thank God for what you did or didn't do on Valentine's Day. And if you didn't honor God, go and do it again. Can somebody say amen? Some people say, my wife knows that I love her every day. Now every day is Valentine's Day. Yes, we know every day is Valentine's Day. But there's a day that some people call Valentine's Day. And so that day we should celebrate it. Amen to Jesus. Some people say, you know, in my house, we just celebrate love every day. I know. Is every day not the day that the Lord has made? Why is your birthday different? Huh? Every day is day of love. We know. But this day, emphasis love. Go and celebrate. And if you didn't do it, I'm giving you mercy to go and do it again. Amen to Jesus. Your wife has given, show you mercy, so you go and do what you need to do. Somebody is thinking that today's same pastor. They did. So, concerned citizens, I have spoken your mind. Mercy. I want to close with this scripture, or maybe two scriptures. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, and then get Jude chapter 1 verse 21. This is another definition of love that I'm giving you this morning. It's love that is tender, that has mercy in it. God is asking you, God is asking me to show mercy. And it's in that showing mercy that we will also see our own mercy. Because if you are looking for those people to apologize or to do right, you may miss your own mercy. Like Jonah eventually found out. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly. Some translation says to uphold justice. God is a God of justice. Let's not get that twisted. Because some people think God is law. God, no. God is a God of justice. You want a just God. You want a God that opposes justice. Hell, one person will come and open your door and just enter your house anyhow. Like we heard in that testimony. So you want a God that says, no. There are boundaries. There are justice. But he says, it's not only justice. He says, but for you to do justice and to love mercy. We need to love mercy. We need to love that we can give somebody a pass. We need to love that we can give somebody another chance. Not the second chance, another chance. Some people don't need second chance. They need 9 chances. If you give them a second chance, you will miss them. Because it's at the 9th chance that they will change. There are some people, they are prodigal son every other day. They will come home. The father will celebrate them. They will go back again. And sometimes you need to let them come back. I'm not saying you should condone them, but I'm saying don't condemn them too. Don't throw them away. Because if you do that, you may be throwing the next savior away. You may be throwing the next president away. You may be throwing that next person that God wants to occupy a particular place or do something mighty for him. You may be throwing that person away. So you say, love mercy. Not just do justice. Love mercy. Or there's mercy in love. Or your love should have mercy. You should demonstrate your love with mercy. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. That's a scripture you should keep in your heart. And let's close with this one. Jude chapter 1 verse 21. Jude chapter 1 verse 21. Or Jude 21, since Jude has only one chapter. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do I keep myself in the love of Jesus? I look for mercy. I find opportunity to demonstrate mercy. That's how I keep myself in the love. Because sometimes when people define love, they make it look like this thing that by the time they define it, they've undefined it. Because you don't even understand what they're saying again. Like I was saying, was it last week? That there are many words now we don't even know the meaning. We don't know what cute means. We don't. Demure? The original meaning of demure is not what they are using it for now. But now, I know that they will update the dictionary just like they always do every now and then. Google it is now a verb. There was nothing like that before. Steeze. is mindful. He's very mindful. God, just have mercy. And I'm not saying, you know, don't say those things. So I'm just trying to say that sometimes we don't understand what something is mean. And one of the things that we may not understand what it means until we see what is done through that thing is love. And I'm saying this morning, a good, solid, seen from the Bible, in the story of Jonah, definition of love is love that is looking for mercy. It's love that wants to show mercy. It's love that strives and moves forward towards mercy. And the best time mercy is applied or given is when it's not deserved. Mercy that is deserved is not really mercy again now. When it is not deserved, that's when you should give it. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible says, God commended his love toward us when we were still sinners. He says that's when Christ died for us. That was when mercy showed up. And this morning, God is saying, the definition of love that I want you to take home with you this morning is mercy, mercy love, or it's the love that has mercy flowing through it. That's the kind of thing that you should carry with you as you leave this place this morning. God is saying, you can show other people mercy. People in your life, just like I've shown you mercy. And this posture is how you will not miss your own mercy. Because if you don't have this posture, you are, like Jonah said in his prayer, you are following after lying vanities. You are following after the wrong thing. Your focus is not right. Your focus has to be right. And the right focus is this. I will look for mercy. I will show mercy to other people. Will you speak to him this morning? Make me an object and a subject of your mercy. I want to be a subject of your mercy to other people. An object of me receiving your own mercy too in my own life. I want to give people an extra chance. I want to give them another chance. I don't want to throw people away at the slightest provocation. I don't want to make conclusions on people because of what they did 10 years ago. Help me to be like you. Deal in mercy. I want to be a mercy dealer. This week, there's a child, there's a spouse that needs my mercy. Help me to show your mercy to them. Help me to extend your mercy to them, to the glory of your name. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. If you're in this room this morning and you want to say, Jesus, have mercy on me, I want you to place your hand on your chest. Especially if you have not given your life to Jesus, he's not the Lord and personal Savior of yours. Just place your hand on your chest. I'll just pray for you where you sit. And say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Have mercy on me. Let me be part of the family and help me to live for you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for every other person now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to say thank you. Thank you because you are rich in mercy. And in this house this morning, let your mercy flow. In the name of Jesus, grant that your children will be empowered to deal in mercy this week. Every area where they need to show mercy, instead of just bringing judgment, let their judgment be judgment with mercy. In the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. If you would say an amen, say a bigger one. Amen.